Oh, wow. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Avenue Media. A good story is a good story. Hosted by Marcia Casper Cook. Live shows every week with interesting interviews in the entertainment field with writers, producers, directors, and screenwriters. There's also shows about newsworthy topics and group discussions about writing tips to help writers reach success. New to the show are conversations about personal struggles and how to feel good about yourself in today's world. One thing's for sure, it's always a lively conversation and lots of fun. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marcia, and we have a great show today. Stevie Gorey and Delta James. Delta will be here shortly. And they've both been on, and well, Delta's here right now, so there you go. It's a live show. What can I say? Hi. All right, we're on already, Delta. So I'm talking about these two authors are women that write and write and write, and they have so many books. So I put a lot of their covers on, but I could never put all of their covers on. But they are unbelievable. They focus, and they're constantly writing. So we're going to talk a lot about focus and those things because these are two women that are extremely focused. And as we know, I sometimes am not focused. So, but I'm working on it because I am working on that rather than marketing as much because I am marketing. And one thing before we start, if you see me and I am asking to friend you, just friend me. It's not a hack. It's because I have 8 or 9 pages. No matter how hard I am trying to get it together, it is not letting me. Because when I go on Facebook, then they say, oh, my code is my password is wrong. So then I start looking for which password it is, and then ultimately I have to change it again. So, but I'm on my phone. It seems to work fine. So if you get a message from me, I am definitely wanting you to just friend me. I can't seem to get everybody together, but I am already realizing that may not be possible. So anyway, we're going to have fun today on the show, and I'm going to let each of these CD, and I'm going to let Delta tell you all about themselves because I think it's so great how focused it is. And all the shows I do, people are always saying, oh, they're not writing as much, but these two are. So let's start off. Hi, CD. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for having
me good.
Today.
I'm good. Oh, you are welcome.
I'm so happy to be here. So I'm CD Gorey. I write romance. I have books in the paranormal genre, and I recently started adding contemporary to my catalog. Yeah, I write all the time. This is my full-time gig, so this is it. This is what I do. Hey,
and
Delta, how
great.
Are you?
Right. How are you, Delta?
I am terrific. Hey, CD.
Okay, good.
I write a lot of paranormal. I also write a lot of romantic suspense. Everything I write is steamy because that's what I like to read, so that's what I write. I'm like, CD, this is a full-time gig. This is what I do, and frankly, it's how I get paid. So if I want to be able to pay all the bills and have a lot of fun, I have to write. I have to write like it's my regular daytime job. I don't, like,
that's
you know, lounge around. And you know, this idea that authors, specifically romance authors, sit around in, you know, beautiful gowns and eat bonbons all day. With little
don't forget our
dogs.
Pool boys, Delta. We have pool boys in the back.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Right. And we have people fanning us if we get too hot. If we get too hot, I'm standing there fanning us. We have princesses.
Yeah.
You know, I would just be happy if you folded the clothes.
Well,
yeah,
here we are.
It's insane. I mean, it's like I write, you know, in leggings and a T-shirt. That's my standard uniform for the day. Sometimes I put on a little moisturizer. Sometimes I actually, if I'm going out, I put on makeup. But most of the time, it's pull the hair back, get the clothes on, go out and write. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my job. I don't.
Well, that's the only way to do it. That's,
yeah, it
you
is.
Got it right.
It's like people are like, well, I don't, you know, how do you do that? It's like, because that's my job. And the other thing, when I started and I had a day job, I still wrote Monday through Friday. I wrote at least 2 hours a day, at least, usually three or four. And on the weekends, I was 6 or 8 hours. So there's focus, but it sometimes for me it borders on obsession. And a friend of mine,
discipline. You know, you need discipline.
Right. You know, when I first talked to CD, I remember what you said. That's right. You are disciplined. This is what you have to be, and it is not easy to be that way. It isn't. You know, most people can't be, but you have to try, you know. And I think the reason you have so many books out is because of that. You're writing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you a question, but I just thought of it. You know, I have no questions, just whatever pops out of this little brain here. But I'm thinking, when you're writing, either of you can take this, that do you, if you don't like what you've written, do you just keep going on? I used to do that. And sometimes now I stop and I go back. So, all right, go ahead. Who said that? Which one? Yes, is that what you said?
If I don't like it, I scrap it. Now, it doesn't mean I throw it away. I just put it in. I've got a file for scrapped chapters, scrapped paragraphs, scrapped everything. Because at some point I'll be down going, doing something, I'll think, wait a minute, I've written this before. Let me go back. And I can grab it and I can improve it and I can use it. But if I'm not feeling the book, oh, God, it is, I'd rather be tortured. I'd rather you put me on a rack than have to write something I don't like.
Yeah, that's good. I know. That's true. All right. You know, I know, Delta, we've talked about it before. And, CD, what do? Do you just move on or just get rid of it?
So, I don't know. I mean, we all have our own processes, right? So I won't even start the book until I've pretty much written it, like, in my head. I won't even write it. I can't even start it if I'm not invested in it. And then I have this really, like, I don't know, it's almost like an obsession. When I start it, I have to finish it. So I will go through it all. But I'm not writing it if I don't like it, because then I wouldn't have thought about it. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm explaining that right.
You're right. No, I get that. I understand that. Right. But sometimes, because you like it.
I think you have to like not only the book and the story you're telling, but the characters. And for me, I went at the end of last year to outlining books, which has worked really, really well for me. And sometimes it's just the first couple of paragraphs now that I'll think, I'm not crazy about that. And I'll go back and I'll keep reworking them. And I may rework them for an hour or two. And then I'll just write the rest of the book just as it flows. If I get the first part right, and if I get my characters' names right, I can write 10,000 words in a day without it being anything. I mean, just boom, done.
Absolutely.
But it's that beginning. You know, it was interesting, though. I don't know. I don't always watch this, but I was watching American Idol, and Gene Simmons was on. And he's quite a star for all these years and years and years. But each person, he was actually mentoring these people. So what he was saying to them was, listen, if you start your song off that too intense sometimes, you have nowhere to go. But if you start your story and then in the middle, you really get there, and at the end, you'll just be there. But I think what happens, and I think that's good advice in writing, because if you think when you're starting to write your story, if you give it all away, then you go like, well, now what? Unless it's a murder mystery, then somebody naturally has to die right away. Well, they don't have to, but they usually do. But whatever.
That first couple of paragraphs, though, have to be engaging. You have got to grab the reader by the, you know, by the whatever, and pull them into the story.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of what you're saying, I think maybe is what I do for you know, during my editing process, but I definitely finish. I have to finish writing the story. I've written a bit, and I've never stopped writing in the middle of something and said I can't do it. I also can't write multiple books at once. I know people do this, and I've tried, but I just can't. I need to finish what I'm doing.
I can't either.
It boggles my mind.
Yeah, it really drives me insane.
Because you have to get the characters in your head. So if you have the characters in one book and characters in another, then it's you're screwed up for whatever that reason is. You are screwed up because it just – because let's put it this way. A character is a person to all of us. So it's like you're in the middle of a conversation with the characters, and then all of a sudden you, like, go to another table and talk to somebody, like, say, in a restaurant. You're, like, not in the same mode. You have to stay there.
No, and it's like leaving food on the stove, you know? Like, I have to finish cooking. I can't I can't walk away from
right.
the stove.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, the thing that gets me, I know authors who say, well, I've got, you know, 15 or 20 unfinished manuscripts I started and just quit. And I like literally get the shake. The idea of doing that is just something I cannot, my little brain cannot fathom. It's like,
no,
me neither. Or the people that write scenes, they write parts of the book and then they find a way to string them together. Oh my God.
No.
I can't do it. Again,
I
mean, that first because that would be better.
Do you hear an, do either of you hear an echo? Do you hear an echo?
No, I don't hear one.
No, I thought I did. Okay. Okay.
Would it
maybe
help
I don't.
Muting
I,
if, like, when I'm not talking? I could do that.
No. It shouldn't do that. So I'm thinking, I'm on a cell phone right now, too, but.
Same.
Yeah. Is yours, I don't know, because sometimes it just, I thought, maybe nobody's here. Maybe you're not, nobody, it just might be me hearing it, I'm hoping. When I'm talking, it's not, right? Because
I don't hear it.
Okay. Are you on speaker? Or anybody on speaker?
I am.
Yeah, that might be. Oh, that could be why.
I think
maybe.
That's
right. Okay, try it out.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay,
go ahead. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
But, yeah, the idea of writing scenes and then putting them together somehow, I mean, that literally, I respect that somebody's process, but, oh, my God, I could never do that. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't.
I think Yeah, I can't either because, you know, I have tried that. I do know one person that does that very successfully, and they, if they're writing a series, they just write it all together. I just can't do it. I have tried. I can't. It's just too hard. I mean, I get in the – you have to be – for me, I have to be there with them. So if I'm not with them and somewhere else, then the dialogue can't come out right because I'm thinking of other things. But, you know.
Yeah, I have
for
to
me,
be
that,
I have
yeah.
to be there with them, hear them in my head, have them talking to me. You know, it's impossible for me.
Yeah.
Now, there are people who do it. They do it successfully.
Yeah.
That's their process,
yeah.
and I respect everybody's process, but I can't do that. I just can't.
CD and I were talking about, you know, the fact of changing over a little with the genres. So, CD, do you want to discuss that a little? Because she mentioned that she, you know, was doing that now. So do you want to tell people about how you feel about that? Because people feel that they sometimes can't do it, but I think they can do it. So go ahead.
So I think, you know, for me as an author, you know, I actually started out writing young adult urban fantasy, which was very clean, you know, no sex, no nothing. It was a teenage, bunch of teenagers was the premise. And then I went very quickly from there to paranormal romance with extreme themes. And I've been doing that for a very long time. This is my 10th year publishing. But this year I switched it up and I started writing contemporary romance. And I actually have two series out. One of them, it's contemporary holiday shorts that are very steamy but funny. So it's like steamy little rom-coms. And then I have a sort of darker, grittier billionaire romance series. And the thing about it is I wasn't sure I could do it at first, and I was curious, and I wanted to try, and I'm enjoying it very much. I've gotten good feedback, and I guess it's just important to remember you don't have to, you know, stay in one lane. You can try other things as a reader, as a writer. You don't have to be typecast. You know, and that's the fabulous thing about being an indie author is, you know, this is my business,
right.
So I can steer it how I want. You know, I'm the captain. This is my ship.
Right, and that, right, the captain of your ship.
I,
Delta is a captain.
I think that
Delta
that's true. I think
it.
You can write more, but I think it's
you do,
important
but don't you
that.
Haven't you done that? You the, have.
Who, me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I do, what I think is you need to have, as a begin, like if you're a beginning author, you're just getting started. You need to really focus and stay in your lane for a while to
yeah.
build your readership and to get your books out there. And then I think you can branch out and do other things. But I think it's important to do other things that are in adjacent lanes. I think if you're doing steamy paranormal romance, to suddenly jumping to sweet, clean, you know, Christian romance,
right.
probably
mm-hmm.
not going to work. But moving
well,
over
that's
into...
the marketing like side of it, I
yeah.
think. I don't know if it won't work for the writing side,
right.
but marketing is definitely a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Marketing is hard, because I know that. It's very hard. I have different genres, you know, completely. And but right now, like, I'm not marketing some of the books that I private my children. I just can't do it all. It's just too much mentally because you lose focus. So I'm right now just going to be writing and doing my shows and not marketing as much, but marketing better. I'm going to try to do it better because I think there are better ways now. I think
mm-hmm.
Facebook keeps changing and driving everybody crazy because I talked about this, I think it was last week and another. I'll look at a post now and I'll go like, well, what year was that? It's like from 2020. Like, I'm going like, well, why is that
yeah.
there? I think that's what is happening now and so confusing to people. And they're going like, what? It's not that it's just, they always say like, you know, this is 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It's out on a post. So then if I'm clicking it and like it, I'm going like, didn't I do that like years ago? I've been doing this a long time. I'm going like, oh, my God. And it comes back that I am liking it already, and I'm thinking, why is it out there? Does anybody see that on theirs? Because I know we were talking about it, and this is what's happening. I don't know why. Does anybody have that?
Yeah, and I think
I
suddenly see things on my feed and somebody says, nobody's responding to my posts, and I'm thinking this is the first time I've ever seen one of your posts.
Yeah, see, that's
it. You know, so
it's
out there. I think Facebook can be used successfully, but you have to be strategic in how you use it, and you have to be cognizant of how you use it. It's not, you can't just blanket like you used to be able to. Now, I've only been doing this for 5 years, and I've seen the change.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
so
social media
why,
is just growing in ways that affect everybody and every business. And like any business, they want to make money, so they want you to spend more money on ads and just to increase your reach. And, I mean, it's changing all the time. Look what's happening with TikTok now, and supposedly they're getting rid of it, but the deadline is in, like, 8 months, so who knows? I mean, we don't know. But maintaining your social media presence is important. I mean, that much.
Yeah, but
I think we've
the two of you have written so many books, so I think that's part of an answer to this, and not get yourself so involved in the marketing end of it, because if you're marketing, it's really hard to keep writing and marketing all the time. You can't. It just can't because it's because, like you say, you don't know if anybody's seeing the post because they are not seeing the post. And that is a bad thing, because if somebody asks me if I'm still writing, if I haven't seen them for a while, then I know they're not seeing my posts. And I'm thinking I post out all the time. But if they ask me that question, then I know, you know, I'm talking about regular people from my regular life. They'll go, oh, are you still writing? I'm going like, well, yes. And they don't see my posts. So I was always cautious not to put over and over and over, but I guess that's what you have to do these days. And that is what I did years ago. I just kept putting stuff up, and I got tired of it. When I did Red River Radio, I kept thinking, why are we doing this all? Because that was like 15, 16 years ago. And reposting. But also, I think it doesn't go anywhere sometimes. So I don't know what that means. So, but I think, like the two of you, writing is the best answer to getting out there.
I think using Facebook to connect with your readers is really important. I mean, I'm in a couple of reader groups. I'm an admin in a couple of reader groups. One is my own. One is one I just started with some other Florida writers for small town books And yes, I put like promotions and sales and like that kind of stuff in there. But I think, and I do think this is one of the reasons my reader groups are really successful, is I do a lot of other stuff in there. I talk to them. Yeah. I have a book reading once a month. Yeah. I put up polls. I do Ask Me Anything.
I think it's your book reading. I think it's your book reading that gets them. I think that's that's a very good way to market. I just haven't done that, but I think it's a really good way.
You know, we do like a 5-10 minute read, and people are on for an hour or more, asking questions, and sometimes about the book, sometimes about other books, sometimes about who knows what, and they just go. They have the best time. You know, they just have a really good time. So it's like, no, that's something I'm going to keep up doing. It's not that hard. It's not a big time. It doesn't take a lot of time to do.
But I think you enjoy
really
it,
like
though.
That.
But you like it. You like it.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy it.
Yeah, I love talking to my readers. That's my favorite thing. It's my absolute favorite thing about being an author.
I think that's important for any budding authors out there should one thing to understand when you're writing and when you're marketing is you do need to develop an audience, because if you're writing, you know, you need people to read it. So having a fan group or a reader group like Delta said it's vital. Having a newsletter, like I'm very active with my newsletter. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of subscribers, and that's how I keep people engaged and how I keep them coming back and updated on, you know, what's coming out and what sales I'm running. I'll offer, you know, exclusive sneak peeks and stuff about what's coming.
Exactly.
It's important that you maintain a dialogue with your readers. And a dialogue, you know, it's personal. You can't just copy what you see some famous author doing. You know, it has to be about you and your work, because then it's authentic. Readers are smarter than, you know, I think a lot of people give them credit for, and they know when you're not being genuine. So it's important.
But readers are everything. Readers are everything. Without the readers,
no readers, no business.
It matters. Right.
Exactly.
So, and I think, you know, which I do say some of the things that I don't think are helpful to me, I try to tell people that, because I do know the right way. I'm not saying that I do it, but I do the right way to do it. But I think it's, for me, it's difficult. And but I think that's the thing. That's one of the things about the show. I want people to understand that there's no one set way. So you can be, but I do think if you're out there and you're writing, do not put the most horrible things about your life on there, because nobody needs to know that. It's not necessary.
Well, they're dealing
it's
with their
getting
own stuff. You know, they're dealing with their own stuff. They don't need to deal with yours too.
They really want to get away and be happy.
Exactly.
When they're reading.
And I'm like CD in my newsletter. It's very active. There's stuff exclusive to it, or they get to see things first. And one of the things I started doing was putting in the first newsletter of the month, I would put in a recipe, because I'm really, my sister, who I was estranged from for 5 years, has died. There is nobody in my family to pass down family recipes to. And these are recipes that are Southern recipes that have gone back for generations, and it really saddened me. So I thought, screw it, I'm going to share it with my readers. So
my readers love recipes.
That's good.
Oh, I know. My marketing person, Renee, sort of rolled her eyes at me and went, oh, my God, that's so cheesy. And I said, well, it's important.
They love
it. All right, fine. They went nuts. She's like, okay, do the recipes.
You know,
this is a good thing.
Yes, this is a good thing. And, you know, right. So those of
you
that are listening out there, I think that's
a
good thing. That's a really good thing. I think it is. You know, and I think what happens to writers is we're so busy putting our own things out. So that's what happened to me. I put different pages for fashion and romance and this or that, but I do it on different pages. That's what screwed me up. So what I need to do myself is just, I am so busy posting other people's and putting other people's things out, I didn't leave any time for me. So I think that's why I was trying to, which is won't work, but anyway, trying to put, like, just me, Marcia Casper Cook, and not do everybody else's things. Because I like fashion, I like beauty, I like all these things. I like books, I like movies. That's what I should be doing. So those of you listening, put what you like. You know,
yeah, I do a lot of uplifting posts and believe in yourself and it's never too late. And that kind of thing, because that's honestly how I lived my life and how I lived my life.
Right.
And so I want to spread that. And I get feedback sometimes on in the group, but a lot of times I get stuff privately, either emails or message to me. And somebody says, wow, that really helped me, or I was having a really bad day and that really, you know, changed my head around, or, I had a lady, I put in a recipe for no-bake cookies. They're just super simple to make. Most people know about them. And I put it in my newsletter, and she wrote me and she said, I'm a single mom. I don't know how to bake. I can't bake. I burn it if I bake it. It's really awful. So my kids have never had homemade cookies, but I tried these. And they worked. And my children were delighted. They just thought it was the coolest thing. They were having homemade cookies.
Yeah.
And all I could think was it took me maybe 5 minutes to put that into my newsletter.
Yeah.
And it had that kind of impact. I'm always amazed at the things that have huge impact to people. You know, it's pictures of the house or pictures of my, they get random, I call them random basket picture. You know, and so they know what's going on in my life, and they get to be a part of it, and they get to be a part of the journey I'm on, and I invite them to be a part of that journey and to share theirs. So,
that's a good idea. Yeah, to do that, I think so. I really do. CD, you're on TikTok, so you're on there.
I do. I have a couple of accounts on TikTok.
You were on more. You were on more. I'm not on as much, but I went back to. But you were on there.
Well, you know, it's a finicky app. It doesn't always like things, so I actually had to start a new account. So I started kind of from scratch, and I don't really enjoy doing face videos. I don't.
Well, I don't do those.
Know,
I just put the book. I just put the book in the song.
Yeah, I don't want to do any of those things. But I do want
to
share my book.
I don't do it either. I know. So what I do is put a book out. A book and
a music. I have a guy who does my TikTok stuff. But part of what he does is I go down to where he lives, and he sets up a mic, and we do questions and answers. And I have to tell you, I had allowed my weight to balloon, and seeing myself on TikTok looking like that literally made me want to throw up. But what helped was I got such a positive response from it. People loved it. They loved hearing about what I was doing and why I did things I did. You know, why I wrote the things I write, and it was just it's better.
Because I think for me, like, I don't want to look at myself, and that would, I think that will change how I talk. So I'd rather not, like, see my face. I don't like pictures that much and whatever. I had to take a few because I needed them for, you know, book, the magazine, whatever. But I don't like it. But I think it's very, you're right in someone's face, and they really like that. I think they like that.
I think they like the honesty, and I think they like that they can connect with me. Because I made a comment in one of my reader groups about, you know, I really don't like the way Alec got it out of that. And a woman wrote me privately, and she goes, you know, that's really when I started liking you, was because I thought, oh, my God, she looks like me. She's just like a regular person.
Yeah.
And that made me feel like,
okay,
you know.
Yeah. Well, that's right, because, you know, and that's the thing, you know, and I always say, if you have questions, just call me, just talk to me, just email me. Don't, you know, I just want them to do this because I think they are afraid sometimes to do it, but I want to help them. And, like, if they're going to spend money on different kinds of marketing or different kind of indie books or something, I want them to talk to me before they spend money that they don't need to. And then come to me later and say, I just spent $10,000.
Well, you know, that's something, because I actually, that's going around a lot. I don't know if you've seen, well, I'm sure you've seen, there's so many classes and so many, you know, quote unquote experts out there, and they're all selling you ways, you know, to make you a millionaire author. And, you know, I learned the hard way. Like, I took a class, I spent, you know, thousands of dollars, and I thought, you know, oh, this was the thing to do because everyone said this person knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took the class, it was nothing like I expected. It was nothing like the intake call.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, asked the person about it, I was, you know, they came back at me with very harsh, very negative commentary, and it became kind of this mean girl banter, and I laughed, and I said, okay, well, I'm finished, because you know what? I'm 45, not 15. Like, you're not going to talk to me like that. And I just kind of, you know, I used my mom voice, and I very firmly, you know, extricated myself from the situation, but I feel like too many other people might be getting taken advantage of. So the first thing I want everyone out there to do who's thinking of taking a class from someone who says, I'm going to make you a millionaire, is look at their book ranks. Because if they were millionaires, they would not be selling you this class. You know what I mean? Like, they would just
I agree with you. I agree because when I take – if there's a webinar, like I listen to a lot of webinars. But when they start asking for money at the end, I leave. I get their information, and then I leave because that's usually what it is, so I'm getting tired of that. However, because there's a lot of indie publishers out there, and they go to companies, they are in, they're indie, but they charge them so much money, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? Because, like, well, as we know, well, CD, you do covers, but Dar was on the show with that does Delta's covers. And I had no idea, but I had asked them before. They were both on the show, and I said, Dar, do you want to tell people how much your covers are? Because people are going to think they're like $1,000. So, and she did say the price. And it was reasonable, very reasonable. But if you don't ask someone about who they use, you won't know that.
Well,
no,
I do
some
put
people
that in
are
the front
charging
of my book.
$500 or $1,000, you know, but people, that's what how people are. They overcharge people. They don't know what they're doing. Even with script writing, I see there's a certain place that, and I was a WGA screenwriting. I was with the guild, and I see them say, like, oh, you want a screenwriting class, or you want to talk to this person on the phone, and it's like $299. I go, are you kidding me? I'm not doing this. Meanwhile, I've written 12 screenplays, but I am not going to pay you $299 to be in a group to hear what you say, because that's really not going to help. Books could help, or mostly if people want to learn how to write a good script, like start watching movies. Like a lot of times they'll say, I don't watch that many movies. Well, if you want to write a script, watch movie after movie. And then there are books and there are many things you can do to learn, but not spending all that money. It's it.
Well, I'm with CD. You know, check out who the person is, because there's a lot of people that are spending a lot of money on classes from people who aren't successful. You know,
and
I'm like,
okay, they're just claiming this success out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And not only that,
but
they are putting other people down. If your whole business model is to hook your customer by putting them down and attacking where they're vulnerable, it's a bad model.
That's bad.
Someone's making you feel bad about what you're doing. Get out of the situation, because that's toxic. It's not helping you.
Exactly. It's very sad when people do that. And, you know, and one of the other things, though, if you're in groups like Delta, you just said you were in some groups. Now, some of the groups, I think they need to fix this problem. If I put... like, I want to put a post about my show in, okay, in a writing group, and they go, oh, this is not right. I'm thinking, why is that? Because I am having people on that can help these people rather than the conversations I see in the group that will never help anybody. But they won't post them. They'll go, this is not right. Well, what do you mean it's not right? Because this could help these people. So I just go, okay, fine, they won't put them on. And, you know, and that will help writers. Because it's not just me, it's all the writers I've had on over the last 15 years. And now, luckily, I'm on Spotify and Apple and everywhere anybody has a podcast, so they can listen to what other authors say. But they won't put them on. So there's a lot of things that people do that could be better to help authors. They're not helpful. They need to help other authors.
I had an encounter... I'm fairly sure it's with the same person who's going to make you a millionaire. And instead of her calling me, she had one of her people call me, and the woman literally said, wait, I need to go get my script.
Wow.
And all I could think was,
there you go.
I'm a fairly successful author. Now I'm making six figures a year, but instead of you calling me, you're going to give me somebody else, and you're going to give me somebody that doesn't even know what you want to say. And we're done now.
It was pretty.
We're done.
I mean, I was lucky. I got out of the situation, but you know, I had gone in with very specific goals. Like, I had asked for things. Like, this is what I want to learn, and I was told, yes, 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 we're doing all that. Yes, we'll get to that. And then what started out, you know, as, well, here's a list of information I need you to read through, and I'm reading through it, and I'm going, no, this is, you know, tips on how to write. This is you trying to sell me a writing class. I don't want a writing class from you. You know, I'm not looking for a writing coach. I was specifically looking for advertising, for ads, for Facebook ads, Amazon ads, you know, instructions and tips and builders. And it was not at all what this was. And then it was like, well, you need to do this first because you're making mistakes and, you know, with your writing. And I'm like, wait a second, you know, like Delta just like, I'm making six figures a year. Why are you telling me I'm making mistakes? Well, you need proof of concept.
I'm doing
like, what does that
right.
even mean? Like, it was just, it was outrageous, the things I was being told. And the person was clearly reading from a script. And I even said that, put your paper down and speak to me because this is not what I'm told. Yeah. And, you know, and then, you know, finally, when the big boss got back to me, that's, you know, oh, well, you're this. And I'm like, okay, you want a name call? I have six sisters. I grew up in Hoboken, New Jersey. I can fight with you all day, but I have a life. So I don't want to do that. And that was my comeback was, well, you have a nice life. You're not getting my money anymore.
There are a lot of groups that think of that. Putting you down, like, and see, it's funny you use the term mean girls because that's what I call them. And it's like, I didn't play this game in high school, okay? I'm not playing it now at 67. It's just I'm not doing it.
Well, you know, I think, at a certain point, you get to a point where you're like, are you serious? Like, and that was me. I said, are you seriously trying to fight with me?
Yeah, it's just, it's hard to watch. And it's sometimes you lose friends along the way. I mean, I know people who have invested, there's one that it's the buy-in is $15,000. And people who are not even breaking even on their books are signing up for it.
I know.
And they've got payment plans and this, and they're taking
loans on. And that is the one that I would not recommend to anyone.
Me either.
Loans
that would not, you know, on their house to pay for this. And I'm thinking, crazy? Have you looked at the people who she touts their success? And have you looked at the, you know, she's like, this, you know, this author has... As you know, she's now making a solid five figures. But when you look, it's like for the last in the last 5 years, she's made five figures.
Well, I was
you know,
I was recommended by that person in that group who runs it that I should use their editing services. And when I looked at the last five people who used the services, they didn't even have 4 stars. They had maybe 3.5 stars as their total, and every single review said that the editing was terrible. I'm like, that's the editing service you want me to use? Like, that's outrageous. And then when I did say, but wait a second, I am a seasoned author. Wait a second, I did hit six figures. Like, I do make this money. I was told it wasn't real because I had gotten, I had paid for BookBub ads. And I said, what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Said,
oh, my God.
You had BookBub featured deals, so it doesn't count. And I said, well, why wouldn't it count? What's the difference between a BookBub ad and a Facebook ad? Like, if I had a successful ad, I had a successful ad. What does that have to do with it? Like, what are you saying? And, you know, it was just such a such a nonsense thing to say to me. And I was like, wow, you're actually convincing people that their writing is bad and that they need you to write. And that's how you're making money. You're a parasite. Yeah. You're a con man. And I called her a con man, and I said, you know, what you do is terrible. It's disgusting.
I had the same exact experience when you were talking. I was like, oh, my God, I know who she's talking about.
Well, and it's a shame because it was, you know, it was not at all that it was going to be. And I said, you know, I was patient. I tried. I tried to talk. I was brushed off. Just stay. Yeah. Just do this. And it was, you know, then, you know, when the name calling began, I was like, oh, okay, let's fight.
That's really bad.
I'll argue with you.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for the people
who
can't.
It's just horrible.
You know?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I feel bad for the people who are intimidated and just.
Yeah,
and I did.
I had a few authors contact me and say, hey, what was your experience? And I said, run.
Just run.
Don't walk, run.
When I hear
run
people,
fast.
When I hear people that have spent like $20,000, I go, and they don't even get like one book, I'm going like, this is not a good thing. So I'm hoping that people, you know, will stop doing these things because they are getting called out for it, I think, on Amazon now. If their books aren't good or things like this, I think Amazon is checking some of the books where they didn't check before. And they're telling people if it's not good quality, I think they are taking them off. I'm hopeful it will continue.
You know, I hear people talk about, you know, I'm going to, you know, well, my grandmother's going to edit. She used to teach English, and I just, you know, hit my head against the desk. It's like, that's not who edits your books. You know, that's, I'm sorry, it's not. And it's just, I understand the allure of being an indie author. I get it. I am one. I get it. I understand. But when you're starting, you need more help than that. You need, unless you're willing to prepare to pay and can afford to pay for good editing, good covers, good marketing, it's hard to do on your own. And I was talking to a woman, a very successful author, about audiobooks, and she's just like, I don't understand how you're doing this. It's so expensive. I said, well, I do royalty share, so it's not expensive. And she said, well, I don't want to give up any of my royalties. And I said, well, you know, the math I do has always been it's better to get 50% of something than 100% of nothing. And she just stood there and looked at me for a moment. She went, oh, my God, why has nobody ever said that to me before?
That's
so funny that you say that, because, I feel the same way. That actually makes the most sense.
And that's why I say to people, if you can find a publisher, a niche publisher, that can push your books in front of the people that they've courted as their readers for their books, do it. Yes, you have to give up part of your profits. Yes, but you also don't have to pay for a cover, and you don't have to pay for editing, and you don't have to pay for a certain level of marketing. And, it's a great way to start. I mean, it's a great way to start and build off of that. You know,
That's what I did when I started. That makes a ton of sense. The other thing I wanted to say is, you know, sometimes I'll have people message me, and these are, you know, people who are just starting out and people I don't really know. And, you know, they're kind of very, very blatantly asking me to help them, you know, like, hey, I want this cheat sheet for indie authoring, you know, and I'm like, wow. You know, like, I don't even know you. Like, what do you want? And, you know, I kind of laugh, but I'm like, there really isn't a cheat sheet. It's trial and error, because different things work for different people.
Right.
And, you know, this is a real job.
Yeah, there's no cheat sheet. And there's no shortcut.
And it requires work. This is work.
Yes.
Like you said, like, I'm not sitting home eating bonbons in a gown with my pool boy. Like, I'm working.
You'd like,
you know,
to be, though.
I'm imagining that very thing, yes. No. So take a lot of work. And if you want to be an indie author, you have to respect it. You have to respect your profession, respect yourself. You know, set a calendar for things.
And respect others.
Cold emailing people you don't know.
To help you, listen to what they're saying. You know, I have people, help me, help me. And, you know, would Chris, my alpha reader, is great alpha reader, would Chris read the first part of the book? And I say, well, I can probably get her to do that, but here's the thing. Do you really want her to do that? Because she's not going to blow smoke up your butt. If it's not good, she's going to tell you that. Now, the great thing about Chris is she knows enough to be able to tell you what's wrong, that your point of view is wrong, or this is wrong, or that's wrong.
Yeah.
But people go, well, I don't want to change it. Well, okay, then.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's
those
true.
Those are the same people who say, why aren't I successful? And it was like, well, did you listen to any of the advice?
Yeah. Did you listen to what I said?
You know, I'm not really sure.
You have to be able to trust your editor and that they will take out what isn't good, because you have to be, if you're going to be a writer, you got to get rid of certain things that don't need to be in a book, or they're just not, they need to be rounded out more, or it needs to be cut in another paragraph. You need those things. So if you don't allow your editor to do those things, it's not good.
Yeah.
You have to be able to take constructive criticism, and it doesn't make every critic correct. I mean, you don't have to listen to every bad review, but you know, if you have, you need a team, you need a support team, you need people who work for you and with you that are helping you make it better. So that's important.
I have a group of 5 beta readers, and I was very selective in who I chose to be in that group. And when I got them together, and I said, and I'm going to tell you the reason you were chosen, because I think you'll tell me the truth, even if you don't think I want to hear it. You're going to tell me how you feel. And they do. Right. And I am eternally grateful to them. And if one of them doesn't like something in a book, I kind of go, eh. But if all 5 of them don't like it, I need to rewrite that part. There's something wrong there.
Well,
you know.
Yes, if everyone's coming back with the same area. But, yeah, like you said, like sometimes, you know, I'll get a remark like, oh, I wanted the character to be more like this. Or, oh, sometimes, you know, I love random. I love random emails. I love random.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Like, hey, why didn't you use this word here? And I'm like, I don't know. I just didn't. But you know what? If you feel strongly, you might want to write. Like, that's always my answer. Like, hey, you think that's what the character should do? Because that sounds like a book you need to write.
The interesting thing, though, is if you actually have a dialogue with those people, or at least I've done, you can actually bring them around and they're like, oh, yeah, you're right. That is a better, you know, you can, and I'm willing to engage in those kind of, and, but I'm also willing to say, you were right about that. You know, I don't have a, I laugh, I have, I say this, and my marketing person and my alpha reader, who's also my best friend, both roll their eyes, but I always say I have no ego, and they sort of look at me, the truth is I have an ego the size of the outdoors. I have no ego about my writing.
No.
I'm going to take criticism. I'm going to work with a great editor who's willing to say to me, now this needs to be different, or what have you. Right. I'm going to do that because what I want is to put out the very best book I can at that time in my life for my readers, and I say that because like every other writer I know, I look at some of the books I wrote at the beginning and sort of cringe.
Oh, God, isn't rereading something you wrote a long time ago the worst?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're like, oh, God, what was I? Oh, my God, did I really think this was good? And then you look at it and go, and it has over 1,000 good reviews. That's interesting. You know, but I think the thing that has never changed for me is that I write character-driven pieces. And the people care about the characters. And I think if you write character-driven, the readers you obtain are more interested in the characters than the characters are enough that if the writing's a little wonky, they're willing to overlook it because they love the character.
Right, yeah. I think that's
so,
true.
But that's even when I worked with a publisher, my editor there said, she said, you know, you are the only author I have that I don't have fights with. And I said, well, why would I fight with you, Jamie? And she goes, she says, oh, I don't know, but they do. And I talk to other writers, and they're talking about they get edits back, and, you know, it takes them, you know, 30 days to do it. And I was talking to my editor from the publisher and my editor that I have now, and I said to them, I don't understand why. And both of them said the same thing. That's because they're willing to argue over a comma. And me, I'm not. When I get edits back from my editor, when I look at all the, you know, it says, you know, you can accept all changes. I just hit accept all. And I save it. And then I go through all the comments. Because at the end of the day, before I put that book out, I'm going to sit down with the manuscript and words read aloud. And I'm going to go back through it. So if I don't like where a comma is, or I don't like that they changed the tense of something, or I don't like something, I can fix it then. But there are people, and the majority of people, of writers I know, go through each and every one of those changes and approve it. That sounds like the seventh circle of hell to me.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that either. Because, well, the person that edits my book, every book I've ever done or every script, and he knows how I write and how my dialogue and whatever. So if he tells me whatever he says, I do, because he knows me. And so then when I read it afterwards, it's fine. But I do not trust him. You have to trust your editor.
If you don't trust your editor, you need a new editor.
Like we said before, every word is not a golden word. To get rid of it, you know, if it's not right, you got to get rid of it. But people, like I say the same thing. I have no ego, and I think one of the problems is because now it's a lot of people are independent authors, which I am, they're not used to what a rejection letter is. If you've ever had mm-hmm. rejection letters, and I have had a lot of them in, over my years of script writing, whatever, they weren't bad letters, they just were rejections, and I understand what a rejection is. But now, if you put something out and nobody ever says anything about it, you go like, I'm perfect. Everything I do is wonderful. And that is the problem. You have to have some rejection in order to move on because you have to be able to accept it. But you're right. People don't accept it. They won't. And they won't be writers then forever. They can't. You can't be. You have to know that every word is not perfect. And you have to be able to accept a little.
Who's a lovely lady. She's published 2 books. She can't find a publisher who will publish her books because they tell her to change things and she doesn't want to hear it. She talked to Chris. Chris told her things she should change. She didn't want to hear that. And so now the other day she said to me, I think I'm going to become a publisher instead. and I just sort of sat there quietly for a moment and didn't know how to respond. I mean, I love her to death. She's a wonderful person. But why would I have her publish books for me, especially if I was a beginner? She hasn't done it successfully for herself. How's that going to work?
Right.
I don't know if people think through all the decisions they make sometimes.
That could be the answer.
Well, that's an intriguing idea.
Right. I'm going to be a pilot, and I don't like flying, so I'm going to be a pilot.
I was just going to say, it's like when your kids tell you they want to do something outlandish, but then they don't want to do the work for it, and you just go, okay, honey, try that. We'll see how it works out for you.
I have a friend who's a wonderful gal. I love her to death. And she decided since she had majored in journalism, and when she was in the armed services, she did their newsletter and everything for the Pentagon. And she just decided that if I was making all this money writing, well, by God, she had a degree and she was going to do it too. So she wrote for 2 days in a row. She got 3 days, and then she got 10,000 words. And she wrote. She messaged me and she goes, "Oh my God, how do you do this?" After I had I said, "Welcome to my world." She thought it would just be something she could do, and she could, I was doing it, she could do it.
Everyone thinks that. How many people have said, "Oh, I have the best story. I just can't find the words." They're like, "Oh, well, that's the job.
Or the people who want you to write their life story, and we'll split the royalties 50-50.
Uh-huh. Yes, for your genius idea, I will do that for you. No, never.
I don't write nonfiction.
Yeah.
We went to a dinner party and one of his friends cornered me and that was what he had. He had this whole life story that I should write for him and I should split. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh yeah. It wasn't even a life story, it was more like a folk tale of the town he grew up in. And I'm like, that's not mine to write, first of all, yours.
This is what happens. But people will call me and I say, they want to ask me a lot of questions about writing a book. So I do talk to them for like an hour and they're free. And I talk to them, I tell them they need to do this, 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 and this. And then they never write a book. They don't want to. It's done. They didn't think it was that hard. They thought like, I have this story. I go, okay, this is what you need to do. And I'll tell you where to go and I'll send you there. And I said, they'll help you. I don't do this, but I will, this is what you need. And nope, they didn't ever write a book because it is hard. It's very hard.
I was on a panel at a author signing last year. I don't remember which one. And it was a panel. We were just talking about writing strong heroines. And this young woman, I think she was about 18 or 19, and she raised her hand and she said, I need advice. I want to be a writer. I have like 90 works in progress on my computer. What should I do?
Oh, my God.
So I raised my hand and said, I'll take this. And I said, what you need to do, this is very important, write this down. You need to finish one.
One.
She just looked at me. What? And I said, you have to finish one. Having 90 works in progress is not helping you be a writer.
Yep.
You know, a writer needs to have a finished product. So just sit down and finish one. And she was stunned. She was stunned. She did not like that answer.
No, they don't. They don't like those answers. Of, well, you need to write. You know, that will help.
I had
a gal in a writing group, and she had won the Golden Heart Award from Romance Writers of America. And she had, you know, she thought she was made, and it was all going to be wonderful. And she had like 15 agents and 9 publishers who wanted to read the finished manuscript. And she finished it, and she mailed it out to them. And every single one of them rejected it. And not just, geez, if you could change this, send it back. It was like, thanks, but no thanks. I mean, and she couldn't write. She was just devastated. And for three years, she wrote very, very little. She just couldn't handle it. And everybody was always like, they'd sort of pull people aside and go, don't really bother Jane because, you know, she's had a bad experience. So Jane sat down next to me in one of the meetings, and she said, how do you do what you do? And I just looked at her, and I said, you sit your ass in the chair, and you're
right.
Right, and
exactly.
she looked at me, and I said, you know, being upset that you got rejected isn't going to do you any good. You sit your ass in the chair and write. I don't care how long you write for. Write for, you know, write for 10 minutes a day. But you make that commitment that every single day you're going to write for 10 minutes. I said, I'll tell you what, Jane, I don't even care if you write I hate Delta James 15,000 times. I don't care. Just do it. So she did. She said, okay. And she left, and the board of directors literally descended on me. How could you do this? Poor sweet Jane. On and on. And I said, you people have poor sweet Jane into a fucking corner. She can't get away from you. So... That's the way it is. So the next few months, she comes through the door, and I yell literally across the room, yo, Jane, how's the writing going? She goes, oh, my God, I've written more in the last 30 days than I have in the last 3 years.
Right.
And she came to me, and she says, I have to tell you, the first day I did keep writing, I hate Delta James. And she said, the second day, I started writing the same thing. And about halfway through, I thought, well, this is stupid. And she says, and then I started to write. And I thought, good.
You know, rejection's hard. That's a very real thing. But you're absolutely right. You have to get back on that horse. You know,
anybody out there
if they can't write, just write, I think Delta James all those times, and maybe they'll get it together.
That's the takeaway, folks. Everyone start there.
Right.
You know what? If that helps people, I'd be perfectly okay with that.
I know. That's right. And it might, right? Honestly, that's why there are a lot of generous writers out there that will help people. So if people are listening to this, you know, if you need some help or if you need some place that you want to look for a cover, whatever, you know, you can always call me and I will, or email me. I'll send you someplace. I don't do those things, but I do know where to go. So, you know, don't use people that you don't know, because I think the stories we talked about are very true. It's just, we're laughing, but we know it's not real.
But it's not funny, but they believe it.
There's a lot of characters, there's a lot of con artists, a lot of people who like to feed off of other people's, you know, vulnerability.
Yeah.
You're not a victim.
You can't teach.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
and some of them just lie. Some of them who can't teach just lie, as Delta knows, and I know, because we're talking about the same person.
When you started, I went, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know,
I bet you can text each other afterwards and ask and say the name.
I don't mind at all. And I will tell everybody.
That's right.
Everyone
on
my
show page. Both of you have your link there, so that people can find you, because you have so many books. You have audiobooks and whatever, and you do covers now. And I know. CD, what you're doing other things too, right? I mean, you have a few. You've added some services yourself, right?
Well, I have a cover group, CDG Cover Designs, on Facebook, and occasionally I'll put up a bunch of pre-mades that I'll sell.
Yeah.
I do sometimes, if I have time, I'll take a custom cover job. I'm not doing many of those anymore. just because I don't have time. I'm writing. I have a lot of stuff to. But, yeah, so I do that. I've done author logos or, you know, series logos for people who just want to kind of slap them on their swag that they have printed or sticker design. Like, I just, you know, it helps me relax. It helps me focus sometimes when I'm between a project. But I don't think I'm ever not writing. So, you know, but there might be some things still in there right now that are available. Well, dude, I'm sorry. I'm in a parking lot and some guy is coming really close to my car. I have to go pick up my son from school.
Okay. And look, I think if people are out there and Delta, you're always very helpful also to writers, you know, and so I think this is a good thing. I mean, here are two women that are authors and they are always, you know, when they come on this show, they're trying to give you their best opinion, and I am too, because we all want to help people that you get that first book done. Just finish.
Absolutely. You know, readers read. So the more books out there, the better, because readers want to read.
I am of the belief that there are more than enough readers to read all the books all the authors write.
Absolutely.
And I agree.
I think
I agree.
That the more that they have to read, the more they read.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's
true.
Never...
And there's different genres, and there's, you know, and don't always think that Amazon is right on the genres, because we didn't get into that, but I have no idea sometimes if I see my book and I have no idea, well, they'll put a nonfiction genre and it's not nonfiction. So check you have to check the description. Check it every now and then, because they have their own way of doing things, and God knows what that is. But they do it. And I look, you know, we all have it, but sometimes you have to check things. Look at your book, see if they've made some changes that you didn't say are okay.
The day that I looked in one of the genres and my book was number one and the number two book was by F. Scott Fitzgerald, I took a picture.
Oh, all right.
I thought, okay,
that's right.
I have arrived. I, you know, now, it
that's
was total
right.
bullshit.
There you go.
But, you know. But I have a picture.
We can believe that. Can't we believe that? Yes, we can. You know what?
If Amazon said it was so, it was.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Let's do this again, the three of us. This is fun. And thank you so much for thinking of me, that both of you wanted to come on. So thank you so much. And I thank you to my listeners. And I will talk to everybody soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, have a great day. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.